Yes, the Lord may be pleased to help me for a little while this evening. I direct your minds to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and we will read the first verse. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. I had no thoughts of reading this verse in the way of a text this morning. We're visiting our dear old friend. He asked me to read a few verses, which I did, from this chapter. And these words have so abided with me that I feel I must try and speak a little from them this evening. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. This is a command of God, has been and still is a command that the Lord gave unto his prophets of old, to go forth and to comfort his people. As the word tells us, comfort ye my people. There's no mention in these few words before us this evening of the wicked, of the unrighteous. It's God's people. And needless for me to say to you that God has had a people. He claims a people. He chose them before the foundation of the earth. He chose them before he sent his dear beloved Son into this world to even redeem them. He loved them with an everlasting love, a people. And these are the people that God sent his prophets, and I believe this is being handed down from generation to generation, right down to our day, to go forth and to comfort his people. We might notice how it is repeated. Comfort ye. Now it shows to us the depth, can I say, or given us some idea of the depth of the love that God has had unto his chosen people. It's to be repeated. It's not to be forgotten. He tells his prophets to go forth and to comfort them, knowing well that they would be a sorrowful people, knowing well there would be a path of tribulation. There would be, by the Spirit's teaching, the condition known to them of their nature. Comfort ye my people. Let us just look upon this for a few moments, and that is his elect enough. He's chosen a people that no man can number. He alone knows those whom he has chosen, and chosen in and through his dear beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Elected, chosen, loved. We cannot get to the height or the depth or the length or the breadth of the love of God in and toward his people, spoken of even in our text. But it does show us a little the deep concern he has had and still has and ever will have to his dear people. They are to be comforted. Now he preached on the mount for those who mourned. Blessed, it says, are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God was, it was a command of God in his early days, that is, the early days of the prophets, to go forth and to speak unto those who would have an ear to hear it and a heart to receive it. Comfort ye, my people. And here again we see the electing love of God. Not all are chosen. There are those whom he hath had mercy upon, and he will have mercy. And there are those whom he will leave. He is certainly the potter, and he can make one to his honor and glory. He can make those for the destruction, yea, for their destruction through eternity. Electing a love of God. So we see within these few words of our text this evening that the Lord has his sons, his daughters, whom he hath chosen, and he knew that they would be in the pathway of sorrow, in the pathway of distress, down in this poor perishing world. Jesus, as you know, he came into this poor world. He found no resting place here. And I believe it's a similar to the Lord's dear people. He will not let us make our nest here on earth. But we are to seek that heavenly country, as we read in the Hebrews of those dear saints, patriarchs, prophets of old, who sought for that heavenly country, that heavenly city. Comfort ye, my people. The work of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is to quicken a soul into life. And every one who is spoken of in our text, who God has loved and sent this message by his prophets to comfort, every one will receive that heavenly calling. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Is the quickening operation of the Holy Spirit. We said this morning, respecting the Trinity, the three in one and one in three, and each have their separate work in the matters of eternity and in the matters of his dear people. It's the Father's electing love, it's Christ to redeem, and the Holy Spirit to quicken and to teach. These people then are taught by the Spirit, and one of the first lessons I believe they are taught by God, the Holy Spirit, is what they are by nature. That they are sinners. The Lord is pleased to reveal unto us our nature that is carnal, the condition of our heart, showing to us that our heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. These are the people that the Lord has commanded his prophets and servants to go forth and to comfort, knowing, having a sight of themselves and their heart by nature, they would be cast down. And so they are. I believe I have a number here this evening that have been perhaps still walking in that pathway under the law. And you know and you feel that there's no way out, no deliverance. That you'll be condemned forever, as the word sometimes is made very plain by the Spirit to us. Well, we are to be comforted. Comfort ye, my people. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, the Lord has said, now will arise and set him in safety, even from him that puffeth at him. And that is our old carnal nature, and Satan, who is ever ready to cast down these people whom God has chosen and said that they should be comforted. Many things that cast us down, and the Lord by his Spirit will unfold these things within our heart. You cannot. We cannot find out in our heart what we are to the full by nature. It's only as the Lord by his Spirit unfolds it, reveals it unto us, and it's often a little here and a little there. And as the time goes on, the years past us, and the deepening of the work in our hearts, the more we shall say, we are sinful in the sight of God. We shall in some measure come with Job when he said, behold, he said, I am vile. Perhaps none of us have got to that depth by the teaching of the Spirit to truly say from the heart. And yet some of us may be able to say it. Oh, how often we feel so vile, so sinful, so polluted, defiled throughout, our heart, as I said, by nature, deceitful above all things. And now we have to come to the words of the poet when he says, oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in? All creation's grown through thee, plaguing cause of misery. Are we taught, dear friends, by the Spirit that we are sinners? Not just in the reading of it, in the letter of it, but to be convinced of it. For that arrow to enter into our poor soul, piercing its way into and revealing what dwells therein. A sinner, yes, indeed, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and came forth of the womb speaking lies, is at our condition. It is. But the thing is, dear friends, have you and I been really convinced by the Spirit? Not just in the letter of it. There are many today who would say we are miserable sinners. Yes, but a child of God. These who fear God, these are the ones who are truly convinced of their sin. And that, and the Lord is pleased by his Spirit to reveal to these poor sinners who feel to be so dark, so unfit, even to take his name upon their lips, defiled throughout. And yet, the Lord in his great mercy has opened a way whereby these people of his, this family, sons and daughters, might come to him and seek mercy. And that's the reason, can I say, that he gave these prophets of old, and to us, I trust, in some measure in these days to go forth and to comfort his people who are so cast down. David looked in his heart, did he not? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's the only place, dear friend, to come. It's our only hope. We cannot hope in ourselves. We've got no standing. None whatever. You've been singing of the rock, Christ Jesus. We've no standing of our own. Oh, I hope none of us building our hope for eternity upon the sand. As you know, we read in the Gospels of the man who built his house upon the sand, and the wind blew and so on, and it overthrew the house. Oh, to have this proof, settlement, shall I say, within our hearts by God, that we are building our hope upon that one foundation, building our hope for eternity. Now we may be able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Comfort ye my people. Oh, they're often so cast down, and when the Lord seems to hide his face, oh, the darkness comes veiled over our heart. When he's silent in speaking, when this devil comes in our pathway, when we are brought low, cannot see any evidences of the work of grace. Marks of grace I cannot show, or polluted is my breast. Oh, how you need a word of comfort, do you not? And it's in the gospel, friends. Oh, build on no other foundation than Christ. Build on no other foundation but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Comfort ye my people. And those places where we get into at times, when God hides his face, when he's silent, come into the house of God at times, hoping and may be praying that there may be something, a word in season, and yet no evidence, word spoken, and you are cast down. Am I deceived? Can I be a child of God? Is it possible for me to be numbered among his dear people? Prayed, yet no prayer answered. Often thought of Jeremiah, he cried, he prayed, but no reply. Is it your case, dear friends? Maybe with some of you, even in these solemn days, you're trying to bring your case before the Lord for some token. You pray with the psalmist, show me some token, Lord, for good. With the hymn writer, show me that I am born of God. That's the desire of these dear people. God is working in their hearts by his grace. Is the opening of the eye to see ourselves and seek for mercy. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. What a confirming word this must have been to the prophet and prophets. And can I say to all the Lord's dear people, servants, saith your God. Oh, it reminds me of Mary Magdalene on the day of resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now she was given that token when Jesus spake to her, when he said, touch me not, for I am not yet known, as it were, or to the disciples. Touch me not, I am not yet gone to my Father, nor to your Father, nor to your God, saith your God. Comfort ye then my people. How the Lord comforts them. At times we come earnestly seeking for a word, for a come, but no, nothing comes. Do you come sometimes to the house of God like a door, as it were, upon its hinges, to and fro, seeking, longing, and yet nothing be given? Well, these are the people that the Lord has commanded to be comforted. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. The path of tribulation. We heard a little this afternoon from the lips of our dear friend, the Lord's servant, in the pathway that his people, the Lord's people, are called to tread, same as with the Apostle Paul. Not an easy path. Oh, how that dear man was persecuted for Christ's sake. How he stood for the truth. He walked out his profession, and he was despised and persecuted. Comfort ye my people. And in those various experiences that Paul walked and knew, he was unable to comfort people when he preached the gospel to them. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. So these people in the text journeying along, they are often tried, faith is tried, they are tempted by that evil spirit, they are brought often in darkness of soul, they hear no word from heaven, cries out sometimes with the psalmist, be not silent unto me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Well, our text says this evening, comfort ye my people. Friends, where does the comfort flow from? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We might say, he brought comfort. But oh, when he went down into the depths of suffering. If we view our text rightly, if we can gather a little comfort from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, there's comfort here. No comfort outside of Christ, the Son of God. None whatever. But he brought life, and he brought comfort, and he fulfilled the law. He came to do what the Father sent him to do, and he willingly walked that path. Oh, how little do we know of the path of Jesus. We read in the psalm, I'll try to speak from it from a time or two, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me, and lead me in thy paths. We pray that prayer sometimes, and I believe we've known a little of the pathway that Jesus trod. Wasn't an easy path, was it? Oh, the path he entered into when coming down upon this earth, in that born, in that most mysterious and wonderful way. By the Spirit, is overshadowed by the Spirit, come to redeem a people. Now comfort ye my people. You who feel to be condemned, as it were, under the law, condemned and feel have no hope of salvation, Jesus has brought it. Jesus came, comfort ye my people. So the Father sent his dear Son to undertake this great work of salvation. We often perhaps think of our own path and how we are cast down, but what is our path compared with his? There may be times when some of you perhaps are somewhat persecuted, but nothing compared of his experience. Oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ went down into the depth of suffering. How he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to undertake according to his Father's will. And there he took upon himself, can I say, the sins. He bore the sins. Oh, to have this gospel preached unto us by the power of the Spirit. He went down into the depth. He bore the sins of his people. What a comforting word when applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. He went down into the depth. We speak sometimes of our darkness and the depth of sorrow, but what is it compared with his? When he cried out, as it were, to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Was it possible? No. He was to take the cup. He was to drink of the cup to the very dregs. And there he bore the sins of his own people, spoken of in our text here this evening. My people. Oh, how little do we realize what Jesus went through to give us a hope, yea, salvation in and through Christ himself. Comfort ye, my people. He took the sins of his all elect, not of his own. He called them his own. He bore them as his own in patience and in love. But they were the sins of his all elect. Think of the kindness of the Lord Jesus. He called them his own. He called them his own. He bore them as his own. Comfort ye, my people. Oh, how often we fear that we shall be dropped into that place to suffer for our sins for a never-ending eternity. But if we are numbered among this people, the Lord has called his home. He has taken that pathway. He is born in his own body, in his own soul. And how true are the words of the poet, what he endured no tongue can tell, to save my soul from death and from hell. So in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But oh, is love manifested? Not my will, not my will, but thine be done. Comfort ye, my people. Dear friends, he's taken our old sins, as it were, like a mountain. And I believe there's been times when you and I have felt our sins to be as a mountain before us. A mountain. But there's an encouraging word in the following verse of our text. For she hath received of the Lord then double for all her sins. Her sins. Yes. His chosen, his bride, double for all her sins. Oh, how we are often troubled. But dear friends, if we might look at it from this viewpoint, though her sins be as a mountain at times before us, yet swallowed up, shall I say, in the ocean of his love and mercy, double for all her sins. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. So Jesus walked in that pathway, even at agony, in the garden, from the garden to the cross. And he spoke to those dear disciples. We read of it in the 16th of John, I believe. And how he gave that encouraging word to them. Ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Comfort ye, my people. What a comforting word it was, drip a drop from the lips of Christ, out of his love, to those disciples. He says, I will see you again. Perhaps I but a poor sinner here this evening. You feel the Lord has left you, and he'll never return. But he has said, I'll see you again. Comfort ye my people. I will see you again. I'll come and visit you again. I'll come and give you another touch, by the way. Comfort ye my people. And then again, dear friend, just briefly, we can say, Jesus, though he died on the cross, he died, but there's a fountain. Comfort ye my people, I shed my blood. There's a fountain opened. There's a fountain opened. Cleanse you from all your sins. Not all the blood on Jewish water stain could give the guilty conscience ease or wash away one stain, but the poetess said so. Lovingly, comforting to his people, the Lord's people. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and all those plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Comfort ye, my people. Friends, there's a foundation to build upon. You have been singing of it this evening. A foundation. Christ is the foundation for his dear people. Comfort ye, my people. Yes, there's a foundation to build your hope upon. Your hope for eternity. He's a refuge of his dear people. Comfort ye, my people, when in the storms of life, he will be the refuge. He'll be the hiding place. He can protect. Comfort ye, my people. Everything, dear friends, is provided in the gospel, Jesus Christ, for his dear people, through life's journey and in death. Yes. Comfort ye, then my people. And again, the Lord has provided, as you know, a robe of righteousness. Oh, blessed dress, blessed robe. Recently we've been trying to speak a little, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. And this is one of the garments, can we say, the best of garments that the Lord Jesus wrought out, and this is the garment to stand in. Comfort ye my people. Oh, how often perhaps you may feel to be so naked, no dress. Or what dress you have is only of your own righteousness, filthy rags. We need something more than that to stand before an holy and a just God, dear friends. Comfort ye, my people. I've wrought out a righteousness, a robe, and it's for the dear people to put on by faith. Comfort ye, my people. So the Lord has been pleased to supply in him, through him, through the precious Trinity, everything that these people whom God the Father chose and loved from all eternity. And what else? Comfort ye my people. There is a place the Lord has provided. Was in the wilderness, we feel, and we can quote sometimes as we sing, weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, set me free, to thy glory take me in. for there I long to be. Jesus Christ found it a weirdest place here below. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's gone before, dear friends. And he's opened the way that these people may be comforted. These are the people coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon their beloved, leaning upon Christ, for all that they feel the need in life journey. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare us for that prepared place. Comfort ye my people. Preach to them, tell them there's a place prepared. A heavenly Jerusalem that they shall enter in God's time. Friends, this is a prepared place for a prepared people. And the Lord, by his Spirit, prepares us. It's to sicken us from the things here below, and of self, and make himself more precious. And therefore, often we are brought through the furnace. The furnace, shall I say, this love unto his people. It doesn't consume their soul, but it will remove. It'll subdue the old nature and show us more of Christ, stripping us of those things that are carnal, and, can I say, coming through the furnace, when it is sanctified, we profit thereby. And there's been times, I believe, when we've been able to praise God, even in various afflictions and trials, and in the furnace, we've been enabled to praise God for his loving kindness. And we've come through the furnace and perhaps known more of him, more of his power, more of his mercy, more of his love. And this is the fitting place, I believe, for heaven. To the furnace, to consume all that is, or consume what God sees fit of our carnal nature, and be fitted more and more for the place where he dwells. Comfort ye my people. Dear friends, there's a place to dwell for his people. He hasn't left them. He never will leave them. He's preparing us for his dwelling place. It's sometimes the path of tribulation. It's sometimes the path of darkness. But the Lord knows. The Lord works by his Spirit to bring us eventually unto himself. That where he is, there we may be also. So the word goes, comfort ye, comfort ye. But friends, in all our preaching, we cannot comfort one poor sinner only as the Spirit applies the word. It must be the work of God, the work of the Spirit. We can take no honour to ourselves, far, far from it. Everything that we receive for the benefit of our soul and the preparation of heaven itself, the place of peace, is of God and not of the creature. Entirely. Oh, how this, dear men, we heard a little of this afternoon. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. But the fullness is to come. The place of peace. The place of peace. The place of comfort. the place of happiness, but as the prepared people for that prepared place. God alone can prepare us. Oh, may we each be prepared by that Spirit to enter into the place that He has prepared for us. We trust it will be glory to see Him face to face without a veil between. I leave these four remarks with you. May the Lord ever comfort you at all times, and especially as we draw near, some of us, nearer and nearer to death's door. Oh, to have some comfort applied with the power of the Spirit into our heart, that it will be well with us. It shall be well with the righteous, that the poor soul says, am I numbered with them? Am I one of these righteous? Do I possess anything in my heart that is of a holy nature? Has the Lord ever quickened me? Am I in the Lamb's book of life? Am I in Christ, sheltering in His wounded side? Shall I be washed and purified in that blessed fountain of His love, of His blood?